Welcome to the Ridge Community Church podcast. At the end of this episode, please take a moment to hit the subscribe button and find us online at theridgecc.com. At our website, you can catch up with everything that's happening at The Ridge, watch previous messages, and learn more about who we are. If you want to watch services live, you can catch them every Sunday via our online community at live.theridgecc.com. We hope this message inspires you to take the next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Well, hey, everyone, and thanks for joining us today. And to everyone online over in Oak Creek, Franklin, thanks for joining us as well. If we haven't had a chance to meet yet, my name is John, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And I'm the only one, only the pastor on staff that doesn't live in Wisconsin. My wife and I, Serena, after spending 4 years here in Wisconsin, we moved out to Seattle, Washington in June of 2021 for her work. And this is actually the second time that I've got a chance to come back and be with all of you and connect with the team and share from stage. It's also the second time that I've been invited to come back during February. And between you and me, February is not the best time to come and visit Wisconsin, right? And I'm not a much of a conspiracy theorist besides, like, you know, JFK, Flat Earth, stuff like that. But besides those things, I really do think that our team, like, got together and, like, let's only invite John back during the winter. And that way he can still connect and relate with everyone about the Arctic tundra that is Wisconsin in February. It was -5 when I landed, so that was a nice little rude awakening. But seriously, I love being here. I love being in here with all of you. And I'm excited because this isn't the only week that I'm here. I also get a chance to be a part of the Super Showdown next week. And there's been some smack talk going on behind the scenes, so it should be a lot of fun. We're gonna enjoy it, and I really think that all of you will enjoy it as well. I get asked a lot, why did you decide to stay on staff even though you moved so far away? Because let's face it, being a long-distance pastor isn't exactly a really common thing. And there's a few reasons why I chose to, but one of the major things is that I really do believe in the vision and the heartbeat behind The Ridge. Like the idea that I get to use my gifts to help people experience hope, and not just like a flimsy, fleeting hope that a lot of people will promise, but really this everlasting hope that I believe only can be experienced through Jesus. And so I stayed on staff as a part of our communications team, which means that I get to do things like host our Ridge podcast. And we have a lot of really amazing guests come on there, and I get a chance to learn a lot from them and talk to them. And we actually have been kind of going along with what we've been doing in main service, which is having conversations about mental health. And so we've been able to have conversations on things like trauma and shame and how to help your kids and students with their mental health. It's been some really awesome conversations. So if you listen to podcasts, or if you don't, go ahead and check it out wherever you find podcasts. That's my little shameless plug for it. I have to do it, right? But it's been fun to double down on the things that have been happening during service, because we've been going through this series, if you're just joining us, called Rewire, a conversation about mental health. And we've been talking about, hey, how do you silence negative thoughts? How do you beat burnout? How do you deal with, what are some of the myths of mental health? And how do you handle your anxiety? And for today we're gonna talk about worry. And maybe your first thought right away is that worry and anxiety are pretty similar. Aren't they the same thing? Well, they're not. Even though they both deal with this fear of something happening in the future, they have a different heartbeat and they have some big differences. If you're looking for a deep dive into anxiety, you can check out our lead pastor, Mark. He gave a great message on that last week. You can find that on YouTube or on our podcast, and you can hear it there. But for today, it'll be really helpful to start by separating some differences between anxiety and worry. So anxiety is typically something that's more general, like you're anxious when you think about work. Versus worry is more specific. It's like you're worried about getting laid off. Anxiety tends to be more unrealistic or a catastrophic, like you're dreading that 1% possibility happening, while worry is typically more realistic. Like there's a decent chance that thing could happen. And there's a few more differences, but the major one that we're gonna focus on today, and the real, I think, heartbeat and reason why it's important to talk about these two things separately, is that anxiety is often overwhelming and paralyzing, which comes with its own problems, right? But worry is typically motivating, like it causes us to act. So the big problem with worry isn't so much the emotions and the feelings that come with it, even though those are real and those are valid. The real danger comes from when we allow our worry and those emotions that come to control our actions. Because we end up focusing so much on the thing that we're worried about, it ends up impacting our decisions. I actually think that like TV show and movie cliches do a really good job of demonstrating this. Like if you think about the dad who's so concerned about providing for their kids that he works long hours and he ends up spending no time with his kids. Or the mom who's really concerned about protecting their kids becomes overprotective. Or the friend who's worried about what their friend will think if they tell them the truth, well, it ends up lying to them. And those are TV and movie cliches, but I think if we look at our own stories, we can probably come up with an example of when we were worried about something, and the focus on that worry led us to make a decision that we regret. I know for my own life, I'm currently training for a marathon. And it's something I've wanted to do for a really long time since I was in cross country in high school. But I've had this history of knee and leg injuries. And so in the back of my mind, I have this concern, this worry that, you know, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna train, and I'm gonna get hurt, and then I won't be able to exercise, and I won't be able to be healthy. And what's really strange is that worry in the past has led me to not run at all because I was concerned about getting hurt. And what does that do? Well, it has the same result, right? I worry about getting hurt, so I don't run, and then I haven't exercised. And so now here's the thing, is that while worry can lead us to decisions we regret, that doesn't just stop there. Worry can also prevent us from being able to have the impact in our life that we want it to. Jesus, he talks about the danger of worrying, and he describes it with this metaphor of a plant being like choked by weeds. And when he explains the metaphor, this is how he describes it. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word or the message of God, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. We all want our lives to be fruitful. We want our lives to make a difference, to make an impact on the people and the communities around us. But if we're not careful, then our worries will control our actions and prevent us from being able to do that. You know, it's when we prioritize the wrong thing out of fear, or we hoard our material possessions instead of being generous, or we miss an opportunity to be bold because our worry is directing our actions and what we're focusing on. All right. Have I got you worried about worrying yet, right? I don't think I have to really convince you that much that we don't want to worry, but what do we do about it? How do we stop worrying? Well, maybe a good place to start is asking ourselves, hey, what are you worried about? I went through this big period of, a few years ago, I went through probably the biggest period of my life of like worrying about so many different things. Serena and I, at that time, we were engaged and we were planning our wedding. And if you're planning a wedding right now, or if you haven't, it's been a while since you've planned one, they're weirdly stressful. Like they should be this day of like excitement and joy, but you're balancing out other people's expectations with all these decisions that you have to make and these things that you need to find out, and you're trying to stay in budget. And let's be real, I'm just trying to make her vision become reality. And amidst all of that, so Serena, she was in training to be a doctor, which is 4 years of medical school, 3 years of residency after college, which means that the time gaps, the finding the right time to get married, super challenging. And we'd already been dating for 7 years. And so I was like, you know, we would like to get married. And we finally find a time. We planned the whole wedding. We found a time, April 4th, 2020. Yeah. So 2 weeks before, 2 weeks before we were supposed to get married, COVID hits the world and our wedding gets postponed. And now it's like, okay, now we have to deal with these new COVID restrictions, these totally new guest lists that we have to shrink, and we have to find no venues are booking, and now we have to find a new time slot to get married based on her schedule. And amidst of a virus that nobody knows anything really about, and I'm left worrying like, am I ever gonna get married? Are we ever going to get married? Is this ever going to happen? Today, what are you worried about? My hope is that as we talk through this and you start putting the things that we're going to talk about into practice, your answer to that question would be not much. So how do we stop worrying? It's a tough question, but we have an answer. And I'm going to warn you up front, the answer is going to start by being frustrating. But as we unpack it, as we make it more practical, I think it's going to be more and more helpful. So Jesus doesn't just tell us the problem with worry. He also gives us a solution. In his biggest, one of his most famous messages of all time, it's called the Sermon on the Mount. He's speaking to this big crowd. And this is what he says. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Then I tell you, it's going to start frustratingly. Like, Jesus' solution to worry is don't. Yeah. It's a good message, right? How do I stop worrying? Just don't worry. Good. All right, we're done. We're fine. We got the message taken care of. If only it was that easy. We all know it's not. And even put yourself in the position of this crowd. They're probably hungry, and he's telling them not to worry about food. I don't know about you, but I go from hungry to hangry in like 2 seconds. And so if I'm in this crowd, I'm about done with Jesus at this point. But this crowd, they had nothing to eat. And this isn't like you and I's, we have nothing to eat, where we look in the fridge past like two things of leftovers, and we're like, oh, there's nothing to eat. No. This is like every day they're working for their next meal. The cupboards are bare. They're trying to figure out where their next meal is coming from. Worry about food for them was very present in their mind. And this is so important because if that's how worried they were about food, then what Jesus is saying is applying to whatever worry we're currently going through. Because he knows. He's been side by side with these people for 30 years. He knows what they're experiencing. And yet he says, do not worry. So let's hear Jesus out. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? So Jesus says, hey, take a second and look outside of yourself. Notice how God takes care of the things out there. Notice how God takes care of things. And he goes on. Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? He's saying, hey, let me help you realize something. Worrying can't help you. And we know this, right? Like, how many of us would say, I am so glad. I'm just so glad that I worry. It's the best. None of us would say that. Jesus goes on. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So once again, Jesus brings up what he does, takes our attention to notice the flowers of the field, and then he asks us to compare ourselves to the flowers of the field and the grass. He says, hey, if God's going to take care of those things, and think about how much he cares about grass, how much more do you think he cares about you? And this is, we've reached a point where I think we're starting to get to our peak level of frustration with Jesus, especially when he says, you of little faith. Because I would guess that many of you, if not most of you, have heard something about when you've shared a worry with someone, hey, just have more faith. Just trust God more. Just trust God. And you tried, and your worry didn't go away. And it's so frustrating because it feels like you're being told to feel your way out of an emotion. Like you're being told to feel your way out of worry. Like don't feel frustrated, feel content. Don't feel mad, feel happy. Don't feel lonely, feel like you belong. Don't worry, trust. But Jesus isn't telling us to feel away our worry. So he's about to wrap up. He's about to share the whole point of his talk here. He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. So he's saying, hey, you don't need to worry about this because God knows what you need. So here's what you do instead. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. We don't feel our way out of worry. It doesn't work that way. Instead, we seek, we go after, we strive for God's kingdom. And to seek is really two parts to seeking. The first part is we focus on it. We focus on something, and then we pursue it. Think of like if you're seeking after a new house, right? You're researching, you're trying to figure out all the information about, hey, what area do I want to live in? What do we want to spend our time? Where? What do we want to be part of the house? And then you pursue that thing you're focusing on. You find a realtor, you tour houses, you make an offer. And in fact, when you're seeking after a house, it's hard to focus on pretty much anything else besides your house hunt. That's the same type of mentality that Jesus is asking us to have when we seek God's kingdom. He says our solution to worry is we focus on God's priorities and we go after them, and then we trust that God will take care of that thing that we're worried about. So what does Jesus mean when he says God's kingdom, or his kingdom and his righteousness? Well, God's kingdom is really best described as it's God's desired plan for the world coming through in the hearts and the actions of people. It's really the answer to this question, hey, what if everybody really lived out of this deep love and this deep caring about God and other people? And Jesus says, when we let those actions and those thoughts and that focus guide our actions, our hearts and our actions and our focus, then all those things that we're worried about are going to be taken care of. And for the record, it's not that those things that we're worried about are bad, because for the most part, many of them are not bad things to worry about. It's just that when we focus on them, we worry about them. And it prevents us from being able to trust that God is going to meet that need. Because when we do focus on his kingdom and we go after it, he takes care of that need. And when he meets a need, we don't worry. And when he always meets a need, in the future, we have this confidence that God is going to do something. I've been able to experience this in my own life. Back in 2017, right when I was planning on moving out here to be close to my then-girlfriend, now wife, who's in medical school, I was leaving behind everybody that I knew and my job as a student pastor. So I had some worries because I didn't know anybody and I didn't have a job. A couple things to worry about. But I felt like God was saying this was the right decision. This was the right thing to do. And so I started to make plans and go after that. And my biggest worry really was a job, because like I can figure out all the other stuff. I can figure it out, but I'd like to eat. I'd like to be able to do that. But I still plan, I still go forward. I'm going after God's kingdom. And about two months before I'm set to move out here, I get this call from this church called The Ridge, which is about 15 minutes away from her medical school. And they had just recently decided that they were gonna look for a student pastor. I got the job. God did something really cool. Then flash forward to 2021, when Serena gets matched into a residency in Seattle, Washington, and we have to move out there. This time, I'm remembering what God did. I'm remembering what he did at The Ridge with a job. I'm thinking, well, I wonder what God's gonna do this time. And well, how about a brand new position for The Ridge's only long distance staff member? He did something really cool. So that's our process. That's our process. We worry about something, we decide to focus on God's kingdom instead, and we pursue that. God takes care of the worry. And there's three things that we can do to really help us with this process. Three really practical things that we can do to help us with this process. And they come from Jesus. The first thing, remember what God's already done. Jesus, one of the first things he does is he points us in the direction of how the needs of other people and the flowers in the field, they've been taken care of. And so when we remember what he's done, when we remember what he's done, it helps us build confidence for the future that God's going to do that thing again. Because if we don't remember what he's done, it's impossible to build confidence. We're starting from ground zero every single time if we don't remember what he's already done in our lives. And so for you, maybe this is an example of, you know, God took care of a place that you needed to live, or finding you a job, or a bill that got paid, or a prayer that got answered and that need was met. It can be really helpful to write these things down and go back to them. Think of a similar circumstance, that thing that you're worried about, and remember what he's done. This can actually even be a great thing if you know someone who's really worrying on a specific thing. Ask them, hey, what has God done before? So the first thing we do, we look to the past, and then we look to the future. We remember what Jesus promises. And he promises two things. One, God knows what you need. And so right now, whatever your situation is, he knows what you need. He knows your family need, your financial need. He knows what's going on with your kids and your friends. He knows. You don't have to feel like you're going through it alone. And that's really important because of the second thing that he promises. God will give you what you need. Now, it may not be what you want. It may not be the thing that you want, but it will be the thing that you need. And part of this process comes to trust that maybe God has a better idea about what's best for you than you do. And so you remember that he's promised you that he'll give you what you need. Now, these two things, looking to the past, looking to the future, they really set the stage for the third and most important step in this whole process. And that's when we focus on the right thing. And Jesus says that the right thing is the kingdom of God. And so we shift our focus from that thing that we're currently worried about to God's kingdom. And there's a little exercise with two steps that we can do to help us with this process. Okay, the first thing, ask yourself, what am I really worried about? What am I really worried about? And the reason why you ask yourself this question is because what you're worried about really is that thing that you're focusing on. And so, are you worried today? What if we don't have enough money? Well, your focus is on taking care of and providing for your family. If your worry is, what if my kid gets bullied in school? Your focus is on making sure that your kid's well-being is taken care of at school. If you're worried about, hey, what will that person think of me if they know that I'm a Christian? Well, your worry is about people's opinion of you. And remember, it's not that these things are bad things to worry about. It's that when we focus on them over God, we prioritize them. And we prevent ourselves from being able to trust that God is going to take care of it. So for me, I started with this exercise, asked myself, hey, what am I worried about? And for me, I've just been thinking about my job a lot lately, and I wrote down, hey, what if I'm not as successful at my job as I thought I could be? And that focus kind of reveals something. It reveals that my focus is on my self-image. And you can kind of see how that would lead to certain decisions and actions that I would take, and it's going to lead me to chase my definition of success. So what do you focus on? And the second part of this exercise is we ask ourselves, hey, what should I focus on instead? What do I need to shift my focus to? For me, I'm thinking about this, the success with the job, and it's different focus is, hey, how do I use my gifts to help people experience the hope of Jesus? You see how that shift in focus changes the actions that I would take? Like now my focus is on how do I help someone else? How do I make sure that they're experiencing the hope of Jesus? How do I help their faith? Completely different. What's your version of this? Maybe it's, well, how do I use my resources to help somebody in need? How do I make sure that my kid and my student, that they grow up knowing that they are loved and valued by Jesus? How do I help my friend experience the hope of Jesus? Ask yourself, hey, what do I need to focus on instead? And then start going after it. So we remember what he's done. We remember what God promises. And then we focus on the right thing. And, you know, it's not that we forget about the things that we're worried about. But it is that when we focus on acting on the focus on God's kingdom, that he takes care of the things that we're worried about. And each time he does that, each time we focus on the right thing, you can just even think about, like, you're going to be doing all these different actions that's going to be impacting your family and your community. And you're going to be all the while having your needs met, and your confidence is going to grow, and you're going to worry less and less. And all the while you're doing this, God is using it to draw you closer to him. Now, the spiritual side of this conversation might be a little bit challenging or a little bit of a disconnect for some of you because you don't follow Jesus. In fact, maybe even during this whole series, you've had a little bit of a spiritual side that you're like, well, I don't know if I can apply this or that thing because of the spiritual nature. Like, we've been talking about how you can pray to God, how you can replace negative thoughts with God's truth, and there's been a little bit of a disconnect for you all series long. Maybe for you, it's not about shifting your focus to God's kingdom, but God himself. What would it look like for you to focus on Jesus? Jesus who promises he's going to be with you, that he loves you, that he has this abundant and eternal life that he wants to give you, and he's already taken the first step when he came to earth and he died for you. And now, he wants you to take a step and make a decision to focus on him and follow him. So I want to pray for us. And I want to invite you, that's you, put the worries of this life, put them to the side, and use this as a chance to make a decision to follow Jesus. Would you please pray with me? Dear Jesus, thank you for this opportunity and this chance to take all of the things that we're worried about and we're focused on and put them to the side. And today, we just make a decision that we're going to focus on you. We're going to pursue that. We're going to make a decision to follow you and all the things that that's going to entail. God, we ask that you just meet our deepest needs that we're focused on and help us build this trust and confidence that you're going to take care of us and free us to make actions and decisions and focus on making an impact in this world for your vision, a better vision of what this world can look like. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Rich Community Churches podcast. If you live in Southeast Wisconsin, we'd love to host you at one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and more about our kids and students' environments, visit us at theridgecc.com. That's theridgecc.com.